comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know, and I'm here because you matter. You know, last night we had Richard Dolan on, and I never said anything about this during the show. But we were getting slammed. And perhaps it is because Richard Dolan has written so, he's researched so intensively and has written so concisely about the national security state. Perhaps there are spooks that didn't like him and wanted to slam him. And maybe it's because of the picture I showed. Maybe it's a combination of both. Anyway, we got slammed. And they hit our video feed. And there were parts of the world where people could not keep the video going for more than a few seconds at a time. They hit one of our radio streams and took it down for about 20 minutes. They were slamming us 1,200 hits repeatedly, just bam, 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 1,200 hits for 20 minutes, just constantly coming in, and took it down. But the show got out, didn't it? And I've got a real surprise for you tonight, especially if you had difficulty with the show last night. I got a surprise for the spooks, too. And you know, screw with me, prepared to be screwed. All right, so, my guest this evening is Dr. Brooks Agnew. We tried to have him earlier in the week, but he was encountering some technical difficulties, and we were not able to make connection with him. And so we're fortunate in getting him rescheduled so quickly. All we did, you know, is kind of we swapped. Because this was going to be Open Line Live night, and I just moved it and filled in where he couldn't be that night, and he's here tonight. So that worked out real well, and we're really delighted to have him. It's always interesting and hot whenever we have Dr. Agnew. Part of the surprise for the spooks is tonight is free to watch night. You don't have to be a member to watch this. They tried to keep our members from seeing it last night, so tonight the world will see. And like I said, you know, screw with me, prepare to get screwed. And we'll just have a good time. It'll be a hot time in the old town tonight. We publish a free weekly newsletter. It is called The K-Files, and if you're not getting it, trust me, you don't get it. All you have to do is get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click where it says K-Files, subscribe. You're going to get an automatic email, and that automatic email has a link in it. And that link, you gotta click it to activate your subscription. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Brooks Agnew if I haven't scared him off. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is the Kevin Smith, and we are privileged to have with us this evening as my guest, Dr. Brooks Agnew. Now, before I bring him on, I want to tell all of our audience, because we have a lot of new listeners and tonight, a lot of new viewers, how this works. Later in the show, I will be opening the telephone lines. And if you're watching, you'll see the telephone number on the screen. If you're listening, I'll be announcing the telephone number. The phone lines are not open until then. But when I open the telephone lines, if you're in Canada or the USA, use the telephone. If you're not in Canada and you're not in the USA, you're somewhere else in the world, we know that international long-distance calls can be expensive. And so we have an additional feature for you. You can call the number and it will work. But you can, if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, the additional feature is called a flash message. You just go to my website, scroll down until you see the picture about tonight's show. And right above it, there's a link. And you can send me your comment or your question in that way. And I will read it on the air. I do not, for those of you who are new, this is not an internet show. This is an international talk show, so I do not take questions from the chat panels, and it's a talk show. If you wish to ask your question, you have to use your voice, okay? My guest, as I said, is Dr. Brooks Agnew, and he has been a guest on my show many times. I've been a guest on his show as well, and it's a privilege to have him with us. Dr. Agnew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's good to be here.
I didn't scare you with that intro, did I?
No, not at all. I'm glued to my seat. I can't wait.
I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at the pictures that I was trying to show and yesterday, and I did show them. Some people saw them. Some people didn't. But, you know, I just got to make sure the world sees it after what was done to us last night. So I know this will put all the spooks' panties in a knot, but there you go. Folks, this is in Tycho Crater on the moon, and this is, a lot of people say, well, I don't know if that's a real picture. Well, go download the picture and zoom in yourself. Go to the JPL NASA website that has the picture, the high resolution, or the full resolution picture of Tycho Crater. Download it, zoom it in yourself, and see for yourself. And I'm absolutely sure, Brooks, that we are viewing here a Chinese wedding lamp. What do you think?
It looks like that. I can see the spire of it. If that scale is correct, though, that thing is a couple hundred feet high.
Yeah, well, you know, everything that's anomalous these days, they tell us it's a Chinese wedding lamp. So, and that's replaced swamp gas. They finally wore swamp gas out, I think. So Chinese wedding lamps are in.
Well, I'm zooming in on it. It definitely looks like a artificial structure to me.
Yeah, it looks like somebody's high school. It's huge. It's huge. We talked about this a little bit last night. I used it just as an example when I was talking with Richard Dolan, and we were talking about his book. I know you're familiar with it, called After Disclosure. And I used it as an example, and I said, you know, with pictures like this coming out all the time, people finding these things in NASA pictures and in ESA pictures and in Chinese space agency pictures, etc. Finding these things all the time, disclosure is happening with or without permission of those who try to keep the secret. And so I used it as an example, and I said, okay, so with all of this stuff coming out, What do you think if the president is watching the show tonight and he sees these pictures, and about that time is when we started getting hit, And I said, and he calls for a briefing, and they tell him, yes, Mr. President, it's true. That's alien buildings on the moon. And he comes on television and does disclosure the next morning. Then what? So I used it as an example like that. I want to use it a little differently with you. And the question I have for you is, are you surprised to see this on the moon?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm surprised to see that there are structures on the surface of the moon, given the amount of solar radiation that strikes it on an ongoing basis and all the little micro meteorites that strike the surface. It just doesn't look like a safe place to be. If I was going to build on the moon, I'd pick one of those gigantic volcanic vents, and I'd build a 50-100 story building underground where it's nice and safe.
And maybe they have, we don't know. But it's an amazing thing to me that, and I want to get your comment on this. It's an amazing thing to me that we can look at a picture that NASA took that so clearly shows something artificial, something big and artificial. As a matter of fact, if you really zoom in on it, man, you can see windows. I mean, come on. This is huge.
That's pretty amazing. It's about like seeing a B-17 on the cover of the National Enquirer on the moon.
And then they still want to deny, even though this is in their pictures. What do you think about that?
I don't understand it. I know the Chinese have sent a couple of photographic missions to the moon, and very high resolution strips of the moon. And they only published about 1/100th of the photos. I don't even think that, maybe a smaller number than that. And the only anomaly that anybody found in the pictures that the Chinese published is that they had copied a strip, and it looked like there was an extra asteroid on the moon, when in actuality it was just the same asteroid. The strip was moved over.
Well, actually, in the Chinese pictures, there is a huge base. It's in the shadows, and you really have to manipulate the contrast to see it. But when you manipulate the contrast so that you can see what's in those shadows, there's a huge base there.
Well, people have always wondered, and myself included, because I grew up, with Apollo. I watched every single launch. I was just amazed that we were going to the moon and back, and it may have seemed routine to the press or to people who wanted to spend the government's money another way, but to me it was fascinating. And I always was so frustrated and confused as to why we left that race or that mission, even though we had two completely finished and trained launch engines and crews yet to go. We just stopped. And the Russians stopped, and the Chinese stopped, and everybody stopped at the same time.
Yeah.
It was like, what the heck's going on? We live in wonderful, prosperous times where technology is leaping and flying forward, and we give up on the moon just like that? I never understood that. And it always seemed to me that there was something very fishy about that, that maybe somebody on the moon, of course I've heard several of the astronauts say that, somebody told us to go home, somebody told us not to come back. But that's not the official story, but it sure sounds like it to me.
Have you ever done any work for NASA?
No, I never have. I co-opted a couple times because I lived in Pasadena with JPL. I hung around Caltech. I went to PCC, which is a couple blocks away. I never got a chance to work in it. But now my best buddy, my best friend from high school, I went in the Air Force, and he went to work for Hughes for 18 years. So he put all the GPS and satellite TV satellites up in space, and I went to work for the Air Force.
If you had gone to work for NASA... Now, this is calling for speculation on your part. I understand that. But let's speculate. If you had gone to work for NASA, Do you think you would be sitting here on the Kevin Smith Show today talking about this picture of a huge facility on the moon? Do you think you would have agreed to do that?
Probably. I'm a nonconformist, Kevin. That's why I'm here. I had enough of conformity when I was in the service, so when I got out, I sort of made an oath to myself that I was never going to conform again.
So you think you would probably be one of the people that at NASA that would talk about it, and you'd be very unpopular there.
Yeah, but living your life in truth and being able to, you know, leave a mortal life having known you lived the truth your whole life is much better than living a lie, I think.
Well, I hope some of the, you know, we have a lot of NASA people that watch this show. And surreptitiously, I get communications from them. No secret information or anything, but they, you know, they'll send me a email once in a while and say, you know, good show, enjoyed last night's show. It's real short, and that's it, you know. But I can look on the server logs, and I can see NASA.gov all over the server. I can do that every morning. I can see NASA.gov, and as a matter of fact, our internet audience, if all I had was U.S., if I just take the U.S. government computers that are logged in every night, if that's the only audience I had, I would still have one of the largest internet shows on the internet.
Wow. Well, I could tell you that it's a fascinating field. And NASA, unfortunately, and it isn't their fault, most of the money that drives what they do, because they're basically a risk organization, comes from defense. They use military officers as their astronauts, most of them. They train them as their pilots. Yes, they put scientists on the crews as well, but traditionally, NASA has always been driven by a military desire to dominate space. And now we've reached a point where, at least in this administration, NASA's the stepchild. The shuttle program was shut down. There's no replacement. There are no manned missions planned for 20 or 25 years. You know, it has to be a big letdown for NASA, because it's the largest and, I think, finest brain trust on the entire planet. Now we have private contractors getting involved. We have corporations getting involved because there's money in space. There's in exploring space, in manufacturing in space, in getting rare metals in space, communications, of course, absolutely. But there's that bottom line. He that controls space controls the Earth. And it's difficult to say, you know, where their loyalty lies now, since their budget has been cut by, I don't know, at least 50%, maybe 75%. There's no real future for NASA as an explorational arm of the government. It's going to be done by private contractors from here on out, I'm afraid.
Did you watch the landing of the Curiosity rover?
Yes, I did.
Did you get to watch it live?
No, I didn't, but, you know, to watch a sky crane lower a mechanism to the ground without totally botching it and just dropping it like a wad of clay was really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Beagle slammed into the moon at about Mach 20. I was tickled to death with Spirit and Opportunity. I interviewed Dr. Jim Bell a couple of times. Absolutely phenomenal success for those two little rovers. One of them's still alive.
Yeah.
But Curiosity is an absolute miracle. The way they dropped it onto the planet, the way we watched.
I want to tell you about another miracle. Another miracle involved, I didn't know about this until after the landing, and I was watching as they interviewed various people. And they interviewed Dr. Holdren, who is the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. And he is President Obama's czar for science. Okay, and this was a miracle. It was just a miracle that we had somebody that would make such a brilliant statement. He said, and I kid you not, he said you know, this is a great day for the United States because, you know, we're the only country ever to have landed a lander on another planet. Well, you know, 27 years before we landed our first little shoebox rover on Mars, Russia landed a rover on the moon. In fact, they put two rovers on the moon. And so, now he didn't say rover, but he said a lander. Okay. So 27 years before we had our first little shoebox-sized sojourner in the Pathfinder mission, Russia was up there on the moon with something akin to Opportunity or Spirit. Two of them.
Well, Russia sent two missions almost successfully to Phobos. One of them, evidently somebody at the switchboard turned the wrong switch off, which I guess shut the radio off on the ship, and they lost control of it, and it just drifted off into space. The second one made it all the way to Phobos, went into orbit around Phobos, began filming from Phobos, and the last few frames that it filmed was a missile coming straight at it, blowing it out of the orbit.
That's true. Here's another thing. Do you know how many times Russia successfully landed on Venus? Take a guess.
Wow, I didn't even know anybody's landed on Venus. No, I didn't know.
Eight times.
That's unbelievable. What Russia, do we know about Venus from that?
Yeah, well, until this Curiosity mission, there had been more missions to Venus than there had been to Mars. But we never hear about them.
No, I've never heard about them.
Now, we never have successfully landed on Venus. We did accidentally crash on Venus one time. but they did eight successful soft landings. In the early ones, they returned data, and then all the first one or two just returned data. And then all the successive ones after that returned photographs. At first, black and white, and then color photographs from the surface of Venus. And they did it eight times.
Wow.
Now, what's interesting about that is they did it all before we landed our shoebox on Mars. All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back.
But nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
You don't know why.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is, in fact, Kevin Smith. And we're talking with Dr. Brooks Agnew this evening, sort of meandering around the topic of NASA. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about with NASA. If you're not familiar with Dr. Brooks Agnew, then you're new to our genre. And what you need to do is Google his name, Dr. Brooks Agnew. You will discover that he is a an engineer. He is an inventor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a researcher. He's a writer. He's a radio host. And we could do a lot of other things. We could say a lot of other things. But we do have to get on with the show. Take a look. And I don't know how we came up with a picture there of Richard Dolan that was up on the screen. That's a leftover from last night. Richard Dolan is not with us, folks. He was with us last night. This is Brooks Agnew, and he is live with us tonight. Now, we were talking about Russia having landed successfully 8 times on Venus. That's 8 landers that another nation has put on another planet. And Dr. Holdren made the statement that no other nation has ever put a lander on another planet. Well, if the moon doesn't count, and I would submit that it does, because it, although it's not a planet, it is planet-sized and small planet-sized, and it's another world, it's another heavenly body, and they did successfully land 2 rovers up there, and by the way, were nuclear-powered. And, you know, that was the first one was in 1970. So that was a ways back. It was just a miracle. I consider it a miracle that we have such a smart guy making such smart statements on international TV in the name of the country.
I think it's very typical of the so-called experts that this administration calls, you know, to lead its various agencies. I think NASA has a very proud and deservedly accomplished reputation. Why the Russians, you know, didn't get recognition for what they've done in the White House is beyond me, other than they just don't get it.
Yeah, I think that's it. But, you know, I've said many times on this show, you know, look, we're hitchhiking with the Russians, right? We need to quit saying that we are the leader in space. We're not the leader in space if we're having to hitchhike with somebody else because we don't have anything to drive. You know?
Absolutely.
When it comes to getting to space, our astronauts have their tennis shoes. That's it. We got no rockets to take them. No way to get them there.
It's a national embarrassment, one of many.
Yeah. All right. I want to move on to something else, and it also includes NASA. Now, folks, I'm going to put a parenthesis around what we're about to talk about. I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say, okay? The information that I am about to share with you, I have shared with Dr. Agnew, and we are not going to use the name of the source of this information, but I have told him who the source is, and it is someone who is well known. It is someone who is an engineer and who has worked at NASA, not directly for NASA. He's been a contractor who worked there as a project manager and on a number of occasions. And he has sent me information that I cannot confirm, and I'm trying to, but I don't think that he's not an excitable type. He's an engineer type, okay? You know what engineers are like. Look at Brooks Agnew. That's what they're like, okay? He's not an excitable type. He's got his feet on the ground. Now, why am I not using his name? I'm not using his name because I can't confirm this information yet. I do not wish to embarrass him, and I want you to understand that what I'm going to tell you is not confirmed. But I asked Dr. Agnew about it. I gave him the information. I asked him about it to see if he knew anything or could find anything about this, and I have no idea really if he has found anything, but let me give you the information. I got an email from this guy, and I know this guy, you know, through the show. I got an email from him, and he said, confirmed from non-internet sources, from non-internet source. Our bases, and I assume that's military bases, on both coasts are evacuating. So I thought, well, you know, there's usually on the internet, there are all kinds of places you can go where people are keeping track of troop movements around, you know, and they report it. Like, there's nothing being said about it. So I wrote back, and I said, well, why are they evacuating? Is this something ominous, or is this an exercise? What's up? His email back to me was, incoming asteroid, almost as large as the moon, not planet X, repeat, not planet X. So let me cut to the chase. There were several more email exchanges, and here's the deal. It's, according to him, not going to strike the Earth, but it's dragging in its wake, in its tail, a whole bunch of space junk, lots of other comets, asteroids, of varying sizes, and they are concerned, according to him, that some of that may be about to hit the Earth. Okay, now I asked, well, what is the expected date of passage? When is this thing supposed to pass us? And he has not provided me with that, so I don't know. But it's supposed to be imminent since the bases are evacuating, I would assume. So I ask him, is your source on this somebody you trust? He told me that his source is someone who has been on the inside and almost paid the ultimate price for blowing the whistle before. And that, yes, he trusts what this guy says. So that's the information I've got. It's got parentheses around it, and the parentheses consist of my statement that I can't confirm that. I don't know, but it's because of who it's coming from. I asked Dr. Agnew if he would look into it and see what he can find. Doctor, did you find anything?
Well, yes, there were a couple of large asteroids. One's about 960 feet diameter, which would definitely ruin our day. Not anything confirmed the size of the moon, but here's the strange thing. March of this year, the UN Commission on the Peaceful Use of Outer Space met, and they discussed, which they almost never discuss, NEOs, near-Earth objects, but this meeting, the subject was near-Earth objects, and they discovered, or they discussed these asteroids and what they were going to do about it. Well, obviously, the UN doesn't have a budget to deal with stuff like this. They have to rely on nations like us and China and Russia, or maybe the three of us have to work together the way Reagan once said, you know, if we have an invader come from another world, maybe we'll all unite and instead of fighting each other. I haven't seen any indication that that's going to happen. I think that there's a feeling that this asteroid or whatever could come through the atmosphere trailing behind it would be small enough it wouldn't be planet-ending, but it would be large enough that if it landed in the ocean, and the odds are way higher that it's going to land in the ocean than it's going to land on land, the tidal wave from that impact would be so high that it would wipe out everything within miles of the coast. And so that's why the bases are beginning to evacuate, not in a mass way, but in an organized way so that it looks like a troop movement. But they're emptying out all essential everything, and they're moving it inland and higher ground.
So you have been able to confirm that?
Well, I was over at Fort Bragg last week, and there was a lot of movement moving, not as Fayetteville, that's a long way from the coast, but there was a lot of movement of incoming things coming in from the coast, from Wilmington and from south Camp Lejeune and other places like that. There were incoming pieces of equipment coming in from there. Why? I didn't even put two and two together then, but you just notice a lot of equipment moving.
NASA has, and folks, I'll have this in this week's K-Files. There'll be a link to this chart. They have a chart of all the near-Earth objects, and it gives you a lot of data about it. It tells you how big are they, and how fast they're moving, and how far are, when they pass the Earth, how far will they be from the Earth. They give it to you in lunar units and astronomical units, too. I took a look at that, and Brooks, one of the emails I had with him, I took four of those, and because of their dates and sizes, and I said, is it any of these? And he didn't write back right away. There was a delay. He checked with his source. He comes back, and he says, my source says it is almost the size of the moon, and nobody's talking about it, and it's not on any chart.
Well, one thing you have to know is that NEOs are not a target of government telescopes. The government does not look for them. All government radio telescopes and optical telescopes are contracted for years ahead by universities, by grants that have been given. They just don't look for near-Earth objects. Well over 75% of the near-Earth objects are discovered by amateurs. And they're discovered because these amateurs have picked a section of space. They go to the same section every single night. They have digital cameras, and they'll take upwards of 200 long exposure digital photographs of this section of space. And the software, which is not very expensive, will compare all the points of light from night to night to night. Now, we know that stars don't move like planets. They pretty much stay in the same place, or they migrate as a field. Planets move around the stars, but they don't give off much light, so you don't see them. The points of light that are moving in the field are comets and asteroids, and that's where they get names like Schumacher and Swift-Tuttle. Those aren't government astronaut or astronomers that put their names on them. Those are individuals. That's how those NEOs are found. And that's who's finding them. But if it's approaching from a very northern climb, like up toward the North Pole or Antarctica, there are no amateurs watching those areas. And it would come in completely blind to us unless a government telescope should happen to report it, which is highly unlikely.
Well, if it's almost the size of the moon, you would think somebody has seen it by now. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are talking with Dr. Brooks Agnew this evening. And as we went away for break, we were talking about this amazing information that I have received and cannot confirm. And I've tried to corroborate parts of it by asking Dr. Agnew to check into it. He has noted some incoming stuff from the coast to an inland base where he was visiting. Maybe that corroborates it. But look, why is it important even to think about this or talk about it? Because if it's incoming, there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do to stop it. Well, simply, we don't want to create any panic whatsoever. But here's the deal. Remember that picture that I showed right at the beginning? Remember that picture from the Tycho crater? They didn't tell you about that, did they? And if you ask them, officially, they're going to tell you that's a glitch in the camera, or it's a Chinese wedding lamp. Might be even a weather balloon. Who knows? They didn't tell us about these things. They've denied these things. And I'm pretty much convinced that if they know this is coming, and they know, if they know, that there could be some real problems as a result of it, they're not going to tell you. What do you think, Brooks?
Well, I think you're probably right. Official mission, Brooks Institute has said the idea of telling people UFOs or that aliens are doing some planet side.
Yeah, your audio's breaking up real bad. We can't understand. Try it again.
Let's try that. I'm getting an echo. I turn your audio off. I can hear it. Can you be better now?
It's better.
Maybe they're slamming us, Kevin. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
The Brookings Institution said that it would not be wise to tell the mass population if some extinction event or a big asteroid or a UFO or whatever was coming. We can't tell the general public that aliens are real because people would lose their religion or be panic in the streets. And that's been the official government position since the 50s. You know, with 60-70% of the population now okay with us not being alone in the universe, you'd think, and really the public is willing to give complete amnesty to anybody, any official in the government that will come out and say, okay, look, it's all real. We were keeping it from you because we didn't think you would like it. At least that'll give us a place to start. We could start there and begin to heal what has happened to us over the last 70 years. But we're not there yet. I don't think we're there. I don't think anybody that officially knows something is going to tell the public. That's why I could just tell you right now, all those asteroids and all those comets that we have watched over the years were all discovered by amateurs. They were not discovered by governments.
Do you know how many near-Earth objects are on that chart that they do tell us about that pass near the Earth just in August? There's 18.
Usually they keep the top 40 on that chart, but you'll notice some of the dates on those, like the one that's approaching us right now, they call 2014 AZ5. The date, the year, is the year that they think that they're going to see it. So a lot of these are 2011, 2012. They're not old asteroids. They don't come around like an orbit. They're new. And that means that we just had one, a tractor trailer size one, passed between the Earth and the Moon some 14,000 miles away. It's inside the orbit of our television satellites. And we didn't know it was coming.
And that was that's the one that passed on August 14th, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
August 14th.
2 days ago.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We never heard anything about that. That's just does not get airplay. Now, every once in a while, one of the news stations will come on and say, you know, we have a comet or we have an asteroid coming by. Look for it and you can see it. But no danger. It's not going to hit us. But a lot of these things are perennial. That is to say, they come around on an orbit. And a lot of them are new. They're being hurled out of the Oort cloud or out of the asteroid belt, or they're just, you know, loose travelers. One of the things people need to realize, and anyone that listens to your show and my show knows this, is that our solar system is approaching the galactic plane. And this galactic plane is a band of very concentrated gravity, gravitational waves that are sent out from a supermassive spinning black hole in the center of our galaxy. All kinds of loose matter ride those waves. That's just like a gravel road, and we're about to pass through it.
Well, so maybe we're kind of at the shoulder of the road now and beginning to encounter some of the gravel. So
yeah,
if that's the case, then we're about to experience even more of these than what's on that chart.
That's correct. And like, you know, a lot of people say, well, we would see it by then. We have telescopes, we have radar, we have all kinds of things that look out into space. That's really not true. And if it's not a star or an asteroid where it off gases and has some kind of a tail behind it.
You mean a comet?
Yeah, or a comet or an ice ball or you know, anything like that that we could see, then we pick it up. But if it's a black iron ball or an irregular pitted asteroid shape and it's approaching us from the sun, there's no light reflecting off of it. You will not see it in the night sky. Maybe your digital camera will pick it up, but it's going to have to get pretty close for that to happen.
So you don't have any confidence if this story from this engineer, it's not a story, this information from this engineer, if this is true, you don't have any confidence that any official body would be telling us so that the public could also make preparation for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there'd be military personnel on the curve with the cameras rolling, saying, pay no attention to the military vehicles passing you. Nothing is happening. Go back to the mall. Everything's fine.
Well, that is a sorry state of affairs, actually, and but very befitting to 1984. You know, somebody thought that doggone book was an instruction manual.
I read it when I was in high school, and I... you know, it painted a picture of a government that had reached a point where it feared its own people, and so rather than governing its people, it started ruling its people. It controlled all the information that went to them. It controlled their diet. It controlled their movements, where they could move to, what they could buy, how much money they could have in the bank. It controlled everything about them. But the elite class, the Putins of the government of the world, could move freely. They could build palaces with whatever they wanted, wherever they wanted. But the masses of people were regulated to the point where they just could not move. Does that sound familiar?
It does. It really, really does. Like I said, I think somebody thought that book was supposed to be the instruction manual, and they've been following the instructions. But... anyway, the reason, and this is important for all of our new listeners to understand, the reason I bring up what I brought up tonight is not to create fear or panic in anybody, but because you have a right to know, and nobody's talking about it. Now, I can't confirm the information. I can confirm that there's a whole bunch of space junk headed this way, and NASA has published that. That I can confirm. I can't confirm the rest of the story, but I also can't wait in case it's true. What if I can't confirm it until it's too late? So this isn't to cause any panic. It's because you have a right to know, and you can be on the lookout on the internet and other places, any sources of information you have, to see if you can come up with information to either confirm or nullify this information that I've talked with you about tonight. We're not spreading gossip. What we're trying to do is find out if this information is accurate information. And you have a right to know because you matter. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Dr. Brooks Agnew. And we have been talking about a lot of stuff pertaining to NASA. NASA would be involved with the stuff we've been talking about. I want to welcome those of you who have joined us just now in this second hour. And you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from us for the first hour. And you also have my sincere best wishes for the future, that you never suffer such a tragedy and trauma again. But you're here now, and we're glad you are. The telephone lines are open. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. We would like for you to join the conversation. So pick up your telephone and dial. Don't forget, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can also use the other option, which is the flash message option on my website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Okay, Jerome.
I have a question for you. This engineer friend of yours, he's relaying information from I'll call him a Mr. Insider.
Yes.
And did you mention that this Mr. Insider almost paid the ultimate price for a past indiscretion?
That is what the engineer wrote to me. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question then to you is, why would we believe somebody like this? And the reason I'm saying that is, if you were the head honcho, Kevin, and you had this Mr. Insider, and he did a past indiscretion that he almost paid his life for, why would you keep him in a sensitive area?
He's not. As I said, he's a former insider. He's okay. No longer an insider. He was. But he still has contacts in there.
Okay, that explains it perfectly. And Dr. Agnew, I also, you know, when we quit going to the moon, it no disrespect, it didn't take a PhD to say, you know, something's wrong here.
That's right.
And my question is if we got chased off the moon, why are the Chinese going back?
Well, that's a good question. The Chinese say they're going back. They've certainly sent enough probes up there. They're sending some more up there. And they're planning on putting men or women on the moon in a very few years, maybe as soon as 8 years. It's you know, I feel a sense of loss that we had the moon right there in the palm of our hands. We could have had launch bases. We could have had observatories on the moon. Even if they were remote, we could have put big telescopes on the moon where we could see deep into space without having to look through the atmosphere. We've had to create huge mirrors and all kinds of software to see through the air of Earth. We do a pretty good job of it now, but we could have had, you know, the ultimate Hubble telescope on the moon years and years and years ago. And now, you know, the Chinese are going at it alone. It's not an international mission. The Heavenly Palace, the Chang'e space station that they're building up there, that's not a multinational project. They're paying for that completely themselves, of course, with the interest they're making on our bonds. It breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart to see us slip behind in technology to what I believe is a country that only knows how to copy things, not innovate.
You know, it breaks my heart too, because I remember them saying one small step for mankind and stuff, and it really was, I thought, you know, just huge, and now it just all seems to be for naught.
It sure appears that way. You know, there are 12 sets of footprints on the moon, and almost all of them are from Eagle Scouts. So these were all men of good character because they came from boys of good character.
And where do you think this leaves our so-called secret space, stuff involved? And I'm speaking to, like, with Terrence McKenna, who named the officers and stuff of the secret space race.
I wish I knew more. I had a friend, actually, who was a welder that worked for me. and his brother was a colonel in the Air Force. 27 years. He worked at NORAD. And he went home for Christmas, and his brother was there, and they had a number of adult beverages around the fire. And he revealed to his brother that we have been flying regular missions to the moon and back for 10 years. And he came and told me, because he knew I'd be interested in it. I can't corroborate any of it. But this is a NORAD colonel that told his brother around a fire. Now, why would he lie to his brother?
Well, thank you, Mr. Dr. Agnew, and thank you, Kevin, for taking my call.
All right. You're certainly welcome. Now, he asked a good question that I didn't interrupt to really hone in on. He said, why would we believe the story? You should not believe. I don't ask anybody to believe. Believe is what you do when you go to church. Okay? Belief is for religion. It's faith. What I do ask you to do is to think. Hear the information. Understand that I cannot corroborate this information, but there are parts of it that seem to be corroborated. But you need to know it so all of us can check it. That's what this is about. Okay? Nobody is asking you to believe. If you come to this show and, you know, you call this show and somebody asks you to believe something, hang up because you got the wrong number. Okay? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello,
hi, my name is Ted from Maryland.
Yeah, Ted.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan of Dr. Brooks here. I guess my question is, early on he mentioned that there are some rays coming from space and dealing with the structures that are on the moon. It would be kind of hard for those to exist, or actually, I guess it would be bombarded by solar rays is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Could he go into a little bit more detail about that?
Sure. The moon is outside the Van Allen radiation belts. There are two belts around the Earth that assume generally the magnetosphere, the shape of the magnetosphere of the Earth. The outer belt is full of energetic electrons. The inner belt is full of much more energetic particles. Most of the sun's rays are deflected around Earth because of the magnetosphere of the Earth. They go around the planet and trail off as energized oxygen particles, which we look at as the aurora borealis. The moon has no such protection. It doesn't have a magnetosphere. It doesn't have an atmosphere to speak of. And so everything the sun puts out bombards the moon. That is the side that's facing the sun. So when we can't see the moon, the far side of the moon is fully illuminated, then it's getting struck by the sun. When we can see the moon, the full moon, it's getting struck by the full force of the sun. There's nothing to stop it. There's no ozone layer. There's no atmosphere. So that building would have to be so fortified with heavy metal like lead to absorb all that radiation to protect anything living inside of that building. It floors me that there would be a building with windows on the moon, because all it takes is a grain of salt traveling 25,000 miles an hour, and that window's done.
I see. Okay, thank you. I had one more question for you. You also mentioned that we're actually moving towards the galactic plane right now. What will exactly what we'd be experiencing? Like, what's that going to feel like here for us?
That's a very good question. Lots of books have been written on it. I wrote four on it myself. For sure, Earth is going to be exposed to a lot of different frequencies that we don't normally get exposed to. We only come this way every 26,000 years or so. We're also going to be exposed to gravitational waves, which are low frequency, up to about 6,000 cycles per second, waves that are emanating from the center of the galaxy. These waves penetrate everything, and they emit They elicit energy out of stuff when the waves go through, including our own bodies. It affects our DNA. It affects the protein unfoldment and recapture of our bodies. It affects all the biologics on this planet, as well as the magnetosphere of this planet. It could even cause a pole shift on this planet. So there are all kinds of effects that could happen because of this concentrated band of gravity. It's very little understanding, because we don't have any records other than what the Maya left us from 1500 years ago about what would happen when we pass through this galactic plane.
Okay. Ted, does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you both so much.
All right. Appreciate Thank it. You.
Thanks, Ted.
623-444-5889. That's a magic combination. If you dial those coordinates into this handheld transporter device called a cell phone, it will transport you here to the studio. Our transporter room has someone freshly arrived. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is John from the outer reaches of hell here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, John.
Hey, just wanted to let you know we had a cooling spree and got down to 98 today.
Oh, man. Did you put your sweater on?
Well, I was tempted, but, you know, they forecast normals of 105 again for the rest of the week, so I just thought I'd get a chill on. Maybe it'd help me last to the next of the rest
well,
of the week.
Well, there you go. There you go. What's on your mind this evening, John?
Well, you know, this is just another reason why I like listening to your show, because you shine a light in an area that has been compartmentalized to the point of idiocy. You get experts in one field with friends outside of other fields, and you know, we try to shine light on it, but the information is only as good as the interpretation of the expert you talk to, and the validity of the information they got from friends outside of their circles, information. And without your show, I mean, we would be lost like we were before your show.
Well, I appreciate that. It has been a long time since we've been lost then, because we've been doing this now. We've done 12 years of it. Information like this, I have to be very, very careful with it. Because, on the one hand, I know and respect the engineer that sent me the email. And
right, I understand that.
On the other hand, the source is not mine, it's his source.
Right.
You know. Now, I debated about whether to even go on the air with this, and perhaps there are people that think I shouldn't. But here's the deal. It's because of the nature of the information and because of the track record of the officials that would have to tell us. If this information turns out to be accurate, we're not going to hear it until we hear the sonic booms of the crap coming through the atmosphere.
Correct.
So,
well, and that was my point.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I'm so grateful to have found you a few years ago. And because this is your business. This is what you spend 24/7 doing, researching it, and you know who is more trustworthy or where the information is coming from and whether it's valid. And most of the time you'll tell us on air, this is coming from a source I don't know anything about, or this is one that I think is very valid. And
yeah.
I appreciate that, you know, and it gives me a, since it's an interest that I have, it gives me a place to go without having to commit untold numbers of hours. You know, to do my own research, I can draw upon your expertise because I have developed a trust for what you give us on your show, and I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate those comments. But now, on this particular issue, I'm going to ask you to dive into the research. I'm asking
okay.
everybody to, because I've done everything I can to track it down. And you know, if this is, if let's assume that this is entirely accurate, and that there is an asteroid almost the size of the moon coming in that they are keeping very secret, it's not going to hit us, but the junk in its tail is. Let's say that's true.
It's like the movie Deep Impact with everything except the impact, all the trash from behind.
Yeah, well, let's say it's true. I don't know that it is, but let's say it is. Then we ought to be able to see indications, like Brooks talked about, of troop movements. We ought to be able to see indications that would tell us that. So I'm asking everybody, open your eyes, open your ears, and open your minds, and let's just see. Don't panic. There's nothing to panic about.
Let's research. I mean, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. If it's coming, it's coming. We just have to prepare for it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what this is about.
Well, and you have such a wide listener base that somebody out there is going to trip over something and hopefully get back to you.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And I hope this turns out to be bad information that was given to the engineer. I sincerely hope it turns out to be bad.
If it isn't, I have a great faith in the general population. I have no faith in the local government. But in the group of people that I run with, the 500 or 600 in my little community here, and I don't think that my community is unique. I think once we have to depend on each other, we will get through whatever comes.
Yeah, we're going to make it.
Yep.
We are. All right. Thanks for the call, John.
You bet.
All right. Yeah, out in Arizona. You know, John, Dr. Agnew, John, when I was broadcasting from Phoenix, from the Phoenix area, I was not actually in Phoenix, but I told people that because where I was, nobody had ever heard of. and I was right next to Phoenix. I mean, really right next to it. But John came over to the studio and just visited with me during a show one night, and just sat there and watched me do the show, and it was really nice getting to meet him. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number, and we would love for you to join us in this conversation. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hi, Kevin. Brooks, having a rough night? I'm going to make a comment, and I'm going to thank Brooks. I want to say that your gravel road analogy was the best one I've heard yet.
Well, thanks. I don't know that I came up with it. I can't remember if somebody gave me that idea or not, but that's what it's like. It's like a plain of all kinds of different size of rocks and gravel and sand, and we're getting ready to pass through it. And, you know, something just came to me while I was listening to the last caller, to John, and my mind wandered, which it often does. But... you know, there's more than just troop movements going on. On a federal level, there are some things that the government is doing, namely the Department of Homeland Security, that they have never done before. I mean, not ever. In Iowa, for instance, there are troop carriers training in Iowa. And it made the news last night. I thought, well, that's really strange. What are they doing in Iowa, where they come all the way over to Iowa to train, you know, troop carriers? And then I noticed that they're setting up what's called a cordon line around Chicago with the U.S. military. They're doing it right now. They've been doing it for the last week. And then I noticed that the Department of Homeland Security put a purchase order out for 420 million rounds of hollow point ammunition. Oh, and 200 paper targets, by the way. And they also put out orders for portable check stations with red and green lights, like the kind that you would take over traffic where there were no traffic lights. So I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't make any sense. Why would they be doing that? You know, there's all kinds of speculation as to what people could be doing or why the government would be doing that, that some kind of martial law fears or something like that. But then Kevin brought up this asteroid, and during this program tonight, I'm just putting two and two together, and I just want to bounce it off Kevin and see what he thinks.
Well, I think it's a possible scenario, although it baffles me why they would order 174,000 rounds of ammunition for the Social Security Administration and 40,000 rounds of ammunition for NOAA, the weathermen. I mean, what, the guy misses the weather forecast and there's going to be a riot at the weather station? I mean, what's the deal here?
Exactly. What, the NOAA ordering ammunition, the IRS ordering ammunition, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the weatherman could be wrong half the time, keeps job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. It's always been the case, hasn't it?
Yeah. I have a suggestion for one indirect possible confirmation method.
All right.
A lot of your listeners probably have friends or relatives who are stationed on the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
They can call them and find out what's if they're moving inland and give you a call and just say a possible confirmation. They are moving.
That's a good idea.
Great idea.
Great idea. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep, goodbye.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Let's get that up on the screen for you. From Australia, we have... let's see, who is this from? From Kevin in Australia. Hi, Kevin and Dr. Brooks Agnew. Dr. Brooks Agnew, what is the actual moon made of? And Dr. Agnew, have you ever talked to Mr. Ingo Swan or Dr. Russell Targ? Best wishes and keep safe. Now, I don't want you to answer that yet because we have a break coming up. And I want to ask this caller, are you willing to hang on through the break, caller?
Absolutely.
All right. You hang in there because right after the break, we're going to come to you, and then we're going to answer those questions in that flash message from Kevin in Australia. Ladies and gentlemen, we have, because every night we have, brand new listeners. And especially when we have a free-to-watch night, we have a lot of people watching that have never seen the show before. I want you to understand that unlike lots of other shows, we're not into hyping something and getting people all excited and hyped up and panicked and, you know, to build ratings. I don't give a toss for ratings. I don't care. But I am interested in finding out the truth about this information. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Dr. Brooks Agnew. Dr. Agnew, as we went away for break, I checked the telephone and told the caller we would get to her right after the break, so let's do this. And judging by the telephone number, I am suspecting this is from Canada. Let's see if I'm right. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Heidi, and it's from Manitoba, Canada.
Well, there you go. I must be psychic. What do you think?
Either that or you've got some very good equipment there.
Well, I noticed the prefix on the telephone number. We call it area code. And
it looks
like Canada.
Good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
I was wanting to ask, is there any sort of date around when this asteroid is supposed to hit?
Are you talking about the one that is supposed to be almost the size of the moon?
Yes.
No. I have asked two or three times now, what is the expected date that it will be passing us? It's not supposed to hit us. It's supposed to pass us, but the danger is what's in the tail.
Yes.
And they are expecting, according to the information I got, they are expecting some of that will hit us or may hit us. But I've asked for the expected date of passage and have not gotten that. So I am assuming it must be considered imminent if the information about the bases being evacuated is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that.
Well, you know, and I'm just sort of thinking, like, tying this into Dr. Courtney Brown's remote viewers, seeing people vacating the coastal areas.
Yeah.
I remember that, and that was supposed to certainly be within the next, what was it, before 2012? Or?
Well, before the end of 2012, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wish I had more information. I wish that I could say, I wish I had enough information to say that my friend has received bad information and this is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have information that nullifies what he sent. I have no information that corroborates what he sent me.
Yeah.
And because of the track record of the officials that would be in charge of telling us, because of their track record in not telling us things and then, frankly, lying to us about other things, I decided it was important enough that we needed to at least air this and discuss the possibilities, and who better to do that with than Brooks Agnew?
Right.
So.
Well, absolutely, and I'm really glad that you've brought this to our attention. That's great, and we'll keep our eyes and ears open for more.
Okay, and if you do find anything that tends to corroborate this, please email me and let me know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, thanks.
All right, well, thank you both so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
623-444-5889. Now, we have this flash message from Kev over in Australia, and he wants to know, he's got two questions for you. First, what is the moon made of? And let me ask the caller to just hold on, and as soon as we get these questions answered, we'll come to you. What's the moon actually made of?
Titanium and aluminum.
Titanium and aluminum.
Right, those are the two primary metals spectrographically, and we've, I think 3 years ago, we hammered the moon pretty hard with a slug that we dropped on it, and we took a spectrographic measurement, and in that measurement, we determined a lot of water is stored in the soil, a lot of titanium, a lot of aluminum. Earth is primarily iron and nickel, and the moon is primarily titanium and aluminum.
Well, that blows the idea that the moon is a chunk of the Earth that got peeled off.
You don't separate metals like that.
Yeah. Okay, the second question is, have you ever talked to Ingo Swann or Dr. Russell Targ?
No, Ingo Swann twice removed. Once, of course, I've spoken to Chip Atwater several times, and he's been on my program, who was trained by Ingo. And I've also spoken to Brent Miller, who is a very accomplished remote viewer and has an organization called Intuitive Design and helped me produce the Horizon Project and produce the Kill Shot. So, you know, I do have some familiarity with Ingo Swann. Certainly he's a famous and very gifted and talented at what he does, or did.
Yeah. Okay. Kev, thanks for that flash message. And... all the rest of you out there around the world, follow Kev's example and get your flash messages in. If you're in Canada or the USA, call us. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Tony from Norman.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, and hello, Tony, Dr. Brooks.
Turn your radio down. We're hearing the show in the background there.
It's kind of hard to hear you. I just saw a couple of clips on YouTube about troop movements, and there is a bunch of them about troop movements. One guy says that they were told to move inland 400 feet above sea level, and I think he said 7 miles inland, and said that according to what he heard, that they had a 2-week window to get it done, but that was on I believe the 8th of August. So
yeah, I was in,
I don't know, but there's a few
August.
A few YouTube videos about it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you telling us that. Let me get my mic turned back up. Now, off topic, Tony, I want you to email me tomorrow about that other thing that you and I have been dealing with. And I've got some information for you I need to get to you. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right. Thank you for the call. The telephones are packed. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Yeah, Rusty.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Agnew.
Hi, how are you, Rusty?
Good. Well, regarding this troop movement, and you mentioned something about Chicago, I know for a fact there are U.S. Marshals that are going to Chicago within the next week, and some have already gone, and from states clear out west, such as Arizona.
Do you know why?
No, I don't know why. I just thought it was kind of a pretty big coincidence with the thing. You mentioned Chicago, and then that troop movement, I mean the U.S. Marshals being called to Chicago.
Hmm. What do you think, Brooks?
Well, I don't know about the marshals, but I do know about the federal troop movements. They are setting up around Chicago. They're practicing shutting down various exits and turning them back on. They are, I forget what the operation's called, but they're cordoning off parts of Chicago. And we don't really know why. There's no real unrest in Chicago, but according to my research in the last couple of days, just from talking to Kevin, it kind of got me excited about doing it. They are practicing. The federal government is practicing, and it's pretty well funded.
I don't know. You know, I just thought it was strange. I could say more, but I can't because it would, get someone in trouble. But
yeah, you don't want to get somebody in trouble.
No.
All right.
I knew about it last week that the U.S. Marshals were going. I kind of know the reason, but I can't say.
And, okay.
But it is very related to our topic, let me tell you that.
Ooh. Okay.
So, but, you know, that's really all I wanted to say. I just want to call in because it just seems like that's too much of a coincidence, you know, that they're, because they usually don't call them from another state like that, only, unless a case is connected with that state.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Tony. Thanks for the call. Very interesting information. 623-444-5889. And that's for Canada and the USA. If you are outside of Canada, if you're outside of the USA, you can call us. That telephone number will work anywhere on this planet. And I suspect on every planet in the solar system. But We know it can be expensive to make those international long-distance calls. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says Flash Message, and we will... You can communicate with us that way. We'll read it as we did Kevin from Australia. Brooks, that was pretty interesting when he said, I kind of know why the Marshals are going to Chicago, but I can't say because I don't want to get somebody in trouble, but it is very connected with what we're talking about here tonight.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. You've definitely got my curiosity, got my faculties aroused, Kevin. I'm going to have to keep on top of it and email you with what I find.
Yeah, all you academics have faculties, don't you?
Well, we can't help ourselves. You know, the mind goes all the time. Last night I picked Romney's cabinet for him and tweeted it out there. And 20 minutes after I tweeted it, Donald Trump came on Greta Van Susteren and confirmed that's the very cabinet position he was interested in serving. So I thought it was pretty good. Our minds go all the time over here.
Well, I am a little bit that last call has moved me a little bit toward the side of the fence of, hey, this is probably real information.
Yeah, because if marshals are moving, that means that you have federal arrest power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of like having the FBI on the ground.
Actually, it's more. Federal marshals are the only federal law enforcement agency authorized by the Constitution. Everybody else is a pretender to the throne. And all arrest powers that are given to all these other federal agencies are done so in contravention of the Constitution. The federal marshals, however, trump everybody. And a lot of people don't know that. A federal marshal can write you a speeding ticket. He can write you a ticket for spitting gum on the sidewalk. He can arrest you anywhere in the United States for any violation of any law. And other agencies don't have that power.
He can also arrest government officials, can't he?
He can arrest anybody. Absolutely anybody. And, you know, you see on television where the FBI comes in, there's some kind of a detective situation going on. They've got an investigation going, local police, and the FBI comes in. They say, we're taking this over. Forget that. Not going to happen. But the marshals can. So they are the power. We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Get your fingers warmed up, folks. We still have a little bit of time left. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach, ladies and gentlemen. We only have a few minutes left in tonight's show, and then we'll bring this flight of the KSS Starship in for a landing. We're talking with Dr. Brooks Agnew, and we're talking about some pretty interesting information tonight, information that I've already told you. I cannot corroborate it, but it's important enough and time-sensitive enough that I thought you needed to know it. We will see if it's true. We will see if it's corroborated. Dr. Agnew, during the break, I got a flash message here from Jeff in Tasmania. And he says, Kevin, I was listening to our ABC overnight. That would be the Australian Broadcast Corporation. or commission or something. Anyway, it's Australian. I used to watch that, by the way, when I was in Australia. Good station. But he said, I was listening to our ABC radio show last night. One of the callers on there made the comment that there was a large military convoy going past his house at that time. It was about 3 a.m. in the morning. I didn't catch his location. So Tasmania, folks, is off the coast of Australia.
Exactly.
So it seems that I don't know that that's tied to what we're talking about, but there seems to be some unusual movement of troops that has people noticing in other parts of the world.
Well, I you know, I've always said, you know, in the four books that we wrote, we talk about cataclysms that are predicted by at least three, possibly four ancient civilizations that will occur on or around December 21st, 2012. Now, they say that this asteroid field that they've looked at, there are two asteroids in it that have been identified so far. One is about 960 feet in diameter. The other one's a little larger than that. They were reported in March of this year, and it is estimated to take around 12 months for those to arrive, which would be March of next year. But we would not see troop movements. We would not see armament of otherwise benign agencies, departments, and bureaus of the federal government if it was 6 months away. We would not see federal troops moving around Chicago. We would not see armored personnel carrier training going on in Iowa. We would not see massive amounts of, well, bigger than normal amounts of gear being moved from the coast inland to Fort Bragg. Fort Bragg is in Fayetteville, North Carolina, which is about an hour and a half from the coast.
The Department of Homeland Security has, in total for the year, has purchased almost 1 billion rounds of ammunition. And they have on order 63 million more rounds on order.
What blows my mind is are the explosives they've ordered. What in the world is the Department of Homeland Security going to do with RDX? Now, you and I both know that's the active ingredient in C4.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. But I'm going to hope the best in all of this. I'm going to hope all of this information is non-information. I hope it turns out that our engineer has received bad information, but I'm not saying that he has. I hope that's the case. And I hope that all this stuff you and I are talking about with the movement of men and materials, I hope that's just exercises. And I hope all this purchase of bullets and explosives is not pointed at making us less free. So I'm hoping the best in all of it.
I hope so as well. But, yeah. You know, experience has taught us that the folks down at Wars R Us do not need a reason to have a war. They only need a weapon.
Yeah. They've never yet invented a trigger they didn't intend to pull.
Mm.
Yeah. Dr. Agnew, let me give you an opportunity to kind of, as we wind this down, kind of catch us up to date on what's happening in the world of Agnew.
Oh, my goodness. We could start in alphabetical order, I suppose, in reverse. The car company is doing quite well. We just this week are moving forward in getting our supply chain firmed up. We now have over 90,000 orders for the truck. We're trying to get the inventory into the pipeline so that we can start delivering those this fall or very early winter. It's long overdue. Believe it or not, the only obstacles that we have faced have have been from the federal government. Everyone else has been pretty cooperative. The states, corporations, all kinds of private owners and buyers, and people want to get out from underneath the gasoline thumb, and they can't wait to get their truck delivered. I've literally had over 50,000 orders since the middle of June. So that part's going quite well. Still, you know, in this country, moving capital is a very difficult thing to do. My screenplay has been submitted to a funder in Michigan, so it's quite a possibility that Birth, which was a screenplay I wrote based on the books called The Ark of Millions of Years that we wrote, it's definitely a big screen movie. It makes 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow look like a walk in the park. It's action-packed. That may get funded next year, so that's kind of a hobby that's doing okay. Alienated Nation made it to number one on Amazon for a short time, and I'm very pleased about that. And I was amazed to see that almost every single chapter in that book has been driving the headlines for the last 4 months. It couldn't have been a more perfectly timed book. And I really appreciate being able to come on your program, talk about it, and discuss what I'm doing. It's a big opportunity for me, and I want you to know I appreciate it, Kevin.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and you're welcome here anytime you want to come on the air. I always enjoy our conversations, and I always know that whatever we talk about, I'll be talking about it with someone who's really done some thinking about it, and that's important for this show. It's probably not welcome on some shows, but it certainly is what we're looking for here. With the car company, I did want to advise you of something that I think you have missed, and it's very important for you to realize this, and that is you didn't build it. You didn't build your company.
Yes, we did. We all have T-shirts that say that. And one thing I'd like to say, Kevin, is very definitively, we are not the enemy.
No, we're not. We're not. But it seems, doesn't it, as if we've been put into the target and put into the crosshairs. And by we, I mean just general public everywhere is in the targets. And, you know, being looked at as the enemy. But we know how the book 1984 ends. And it's not an instruction manual. And I think we could write an addendum for it, and that would be the last 2 days of the lives of, Mussolini, Ceausescu, Milosevic. I think that would be something worth studying.
Well, hopefully we're going that way. Hopefully we're going in a direction where we're going to return government to the role of government and away from the role of ruler.
Well, I hope so. Thanks for being with us. We're out of time. Stay on the line with me for a moment as we bring this one in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether that information is accurate, but you need to know it so we can all check it, because you matter. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.